Hey, welcome, East Point family. This is us. This is who we are. So glad to see you guys here. Welcome to our Vision Sunday. We've been waiting for this Sunday for a long, long time. Welcome back is kind of what we want to say. It's the official welcome back. And I know a lot of you have been coming for a long time anyway, but hey, we needed an official welcome back. This is our official welcome back from an unusual last year. I am now 3 years older than I was last year. Just kind of what it feels like, at least for me. Man, I'm glad to be able to press forward with what God has for us. We're praying that many more of you will be able to join us in person, and if you're unable, we'll still continue to welcome you online and provide online options for ministry. And if you're asking what makes Vision Sunday this year any different than any other fall launch that we've had before, well, for starters, last year we didn't even have one. We didn't have a launch. It was so awkward. It was so hard. And now at least we get to see and be together in person for those who are able. And I'm going to share with you a few other things to help you grasp that our elders and staff and volunteer leaders are looking for a next season that's different. Different primarily because we are coming to God with a much greater dependence upon Him. I mean, as this place starts to look a little more like it did before COVID ever happened and we see people filling seats, that is not what we want to get back to. We have a much greater vision than that. A much stronger heart to see people in greater Portland come to Jesus than just to get back to what a pre-COVID attendance might have been, both for adults and for children, when we see countless people around us so far from God and so in need of Him. And I just feel like we need to just tell the truth to everybody that we see, that if your heart is not settled, if your mind isn't clear, if you're lethargic, if you're tired, if you're not feeling terrific on a beautiful day like this, barring any illness that might be upon you, and I understand that some of us are facing some very difficult things from that capacity, but for those of us who are not, after we sing a song like we just sang, like 100 billion galaxies and all the projections and multiplications of God's love for us, that if the stars cry out, so will we. And it's all about worshiping and praising Him and honoring Him. We just have to get there. He's our God and Father. He's provided everything we have. And if you look into the sky, even this morning, and you see the bright sun coming over the horizon, does it not stir your soul? And if it doesn't, it should. And you and I should say together, oh man, if the sun worships Him, how much more should I? How much more if the oceans and the mountains? And so we're here to see God accomplish a greater vision for greater Portland because we believe God's given us a greater vision. And we're going to talk about that. And before I share about the vision, let me share with you just a few things that led up to today for us to be able to present this to you. About a week ago, Keenan mentioned it last Sunday as well, on Saturday, September the 11th, we had leaders, volunteer leaders and staff and elders gather from every facet and ministry of our church family to come together, whether you're a greeter, an usher, an outreach person, from the point or life groups or classes or recovery groups, it doesn't matter. We came together for an all-day leadership summit that was organized so well by our team to get us ready and to get our hearts prepared to minister. And the central themes of that day were to equip followers of Jesus engaged at East Point and to share the new vision that God has given us. And when you hear it, you're going to think, well, that's not so new. But it's new when we know it is the Spirit of God upon whom we depend to accomplish the vision and the mission. It cannot be by us. So I'll be sharing part of what we shared at the Leaders Summit last Saturday. And just one of the pieces bringing, that's just one piece bringing tons of enthusiasm to our teams to say, oh, we believe in you, oh God. If it's not you that moves on Greater Portland, nothing will happen. And all we'll do is go back to being East Point Christian Church, which in some people's opinions, well, that's a really good thing. And I believe it is too, but he did not call us to be East Point Christian Church. He called us to be the Church of Jesus at large, all over the planet, all over the globe. And so we're looking forward. The next thing we did to get ready for today was the staff retreat. We had a staff prayer retreat. And so the day after the leadership summit, last Sunday afternoon, we asked our staff team to begin fasting and praying in preparation for a day of fasting together on that following Monday, last Monday, that would lead us into Tuesday, where we would be pursuing God at that retreat for an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on us and on our church. And that's why we went. We didn't have any other purpose. We had no other agenda. We didn't want another agenda. The only agenda we wanted was to pursue God. And that is what we did. To pray for a spiritual awakening, to pray for a revival that would be so profoundly led by His Holy Spirit that we could see, we really could see thousands of people come to Jesus in a matter of months, not years, I'm saying months. The reason that we know that is because of what we did in preparation for the retreat. Kurt Holmgren, our outreach pastor, got together about 10 different articles, summaries of great revivals and great awakenings of the past throughout the nation and the world. And all of our staff team read those articles about these great awakenings so that when we came, we would be able to not only pray, but we'd be able to talk about what God showed us where He poured out His Spirit on people because they asked. And that was it. Just because they asked. And so on Monday of last week, we began the plan of spending the whole day in prayer, which sounds outrageous to some, but it went so fast. And then there would be some discussion about those articles, and then we would pray some more. And so we began on a small mountain in Bethel, Maine, singing praises to a God with all the rest of His mountains surrounding us. And I said, hey, turn around and face the mountains. Don't face each other. This isn't about us. We're going to praise the God of glory. And the music began, just the guitar, and the staff just began to sing to the Lord with this incredible mountain backdrop. And for an hour, we praised Him and gave Him glory with song and with our words and with our hearts. And we said, there shall be no requests. We can't ask Him anything. We can only praise Him. Didn't say it like that at all. In fact, I didn't even have to. I said, our only purpose for this whole hour is to praise Him. And so we did. That hour gave way into a second hour of repentance, where we came together as a staff and we repented of our own sins and confessed some of them to each other in a circle, which was a little vulnerable. And then we asked God to forgive us of our sin so we could be cleansed and that He could do a greater work. And we prayed for the sins of Greater Portland that people are enslaved to right now, and you know who some of them are and what they're enslaved to. And we just beg God to pour out His Spirit to convict the hearts, because you know the role of the Holy Spirit. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world, whoops, of sin. This is very important for later. So the role of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin, yours too. And so if there's something that's blocking you from Jesus, how foolish is it for us to keep pursuing him when we're making great time going the wrong direction without trying to correct the issue of the sin that's in our life for which we need to repent and bow down and surrender that peace. So that's, I'm just telling you things that we need to speak to each other and tell the truth about sin. Amen? It's true. It's what we have to do to cleanse our hearts. And it's that loving kindness of God that we're going to hear about in Romans, when we start our Romans series next Sunday, the second weekend. The whole focus of Romans the second week is going to be God's loving kindness that leads us to repentance. And that'll be a great day for our church, because you'll be put on the spot to come up and share all of your sin in front of everybody. Now, it'll just be a time where you can sit before the Lord and you see his loving kindness leads us to repentance. Do you know why it's loving kindness? It's because repentance clears the air between me and God. That's what it does. And so we repented for us and for Greater Portland. And after a time of repentant prayer, our staff team moved into this engaging discussion of what we read and how we saw God's Spirit move and what accompanied his profound outpouring of his Holy Spirit on the cities and the towns and the people privileged to experience a great awakening. And oh, how I pray that we're privileged to experience some great awakening, some revival in Greater Portland. Aren't you? Are you not? Would you not want to participate in some kind of outpouring of God where the Holy Spirit just comes down and he does it? He does it because we ask him to, and that's all. You don't have to perform except to allow your heart to get right. And then we ask it, and we ask it persistently without stopping. And pray that it'll bring it on Greater Portland, and not just through East Point, but through all churches that believe in a God and Father who will do this thing, who will bring about a glorious explosion of salvation of the very gospel of Jesus that you know your coworkers and friends and family members and neighbors need, and without it, they die a Christless eternity. We just have to keep that in mind. And I hope, you see, I've had to pray for the passion in my heart to be restored over this last several months. I've had to ask God to do a new thing in my heart because my heart has gotten so stale. And it's not that I didn't have a desire to see lost people saved. I just didn't care very much to engage them at the level that I know he wants me to. You know why? Because I was so concerned about the way I was feeling. Oh, poor Scott. That's what my middle daughter might say. Oh, poor Scott. And never mind. I'll just stop right, you know. Come on, have a heart. It's this amazing grace of our glorious Father and our resurrection hope in Jesus. Those are two things that we believe will make this season of ministry unlike any other season in our 17-year history, because we have begun to train our hearts, it's not because we've organized something that things are going to change. It's because the Holy Spirit will do that. Let me make this really clear before I share the vision that we believe God has given to us. We still have the same mission and the same values. Very quickly, I'm going to share it for you. It won't be new to you. Our mission is still to make disciples of Jesus who share him with others. That's our mission. We have not changed that. That will never change. And we know that mission is supposed to be like a flywheel effect, where all of us who are faithful followers of Jesus are to just share and reproduce and make disciples, although that's not happening in our church body. We just want to see it happen. We know that people can invite people to church. What we'd like to see is people invite people to a cup of coffee to share the gospel. That's what we want. We just want to see that happen for all of us. Me too. It's not any different. I'm the same as you. I just have to keep praying that God will do that, to become true fishers of men like we shared the last 5 weeks. Our values have not changed as well. We want people to know God. We believe they can. We wouldn't say it over and over if we didn't think people can really know God and develop this personal relationship with Jesus Christ the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We have to have him in our hearts. Our hearts have to change. Our hearts have to be refined. Our hearts have to make room for God to do what he's supposed to do inside of us, to relate to us. Our hearts have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get it? Me too. I got to get that. We got to understand it. You see, if our hearts are so filled with ourselves, we'll never have any room for Jesus. We have to let him in. We have to let him come completely in. We just have to. And then we believe that people can find freedom once they start to know and understand that they can truly know God and know Jesus, but to find freedom by identifying even today, if you need to identify what that sin is that I spoke about, so that we can tell the truth about sin, how it not only kills the body, most sin kills the body, even if you're an angry bird, it'll kill you. If all you are is resentful and filled with wrath and anger, it'll kill you. It'll take years off your life. And we know there's a lot of other sins that'll kill our body as well, but did you know that sin can also kill the soul? That's what Jesus said to be concerned about. That which can throw us into the fires of hell, Jesus said you should be concerned about that. And how taking hold of the truth of God's holy word and pursuing true holiness without willingness to compromise or sell short our commitment to following Jesus, that's how we find freedom. And we want that freedom. And then to engage community, we all know that once we find some of that freedom, we're going to be more free to engage community here inside the body, to serve together like we are doing and have been doing. And so many people contribute to serving. And then we go right outside these walls and engage community. And that's what we're really driving toward for you and I, to do that really well. And then finally, to share your story, because your story includes Jesus. And everybody needs Jesus. And so we're just going to keep finding, discerning ways that we can do that. And so none of that has changed. That's who we are. It's who we want to become through the profound outpouring of God's Spirit upon us that will move us to this vision on Vision Sundays. And here's the vision. It's gospel transformation for Greater Portland. It is the gospel of Jesus that will change people. A bunch of spiritual religious knowledge will not change them very much. The gospel will change them. The gospel is the good news. I know this is old hat to so many. It's the good news that Jesus came to save us from sin and death and hell. We do not exist for any other purpose, but that's the gospel. That'll save people. Let me share just a piece of what I shared with our leaders last Saturday, and then I want you to hear just a few stories from the past of what have happened in some of these revivals that we're praying and asking God for now. Gospel transformation for Greater Portland will not happen because we organize it, but because we cry out to him for it. It's the one common theme in the examples of the Great Awakenings and the revivals. And I've said it already this morning, already. It's only because people asked God for it persistently, which we'll talk about more in a moment. But it starts with who we are individually as a committed follower of Jesus, meaning you and I just have to find our time spent with Jesus. And we've talked about it among our staff. It's allowing the presence of Jesus to be present all the time, like he's right in front of us. And the more we do that, and the more we look at him and look to see him as we're walking through our day, the more present he becomes in our day. His forgiveness, his compassion, his presence, no division, at least from us. No hateful thoughts or opinions, at least from us who follow Jesus, just Jesus, us imitating him. We carry him within us.
We carry within us, if we think about it, we carry within us the suffering of Jesus that went to the cross to take on himself our sin. I know that's the gospel. That's exactly, but there's a reason for that. It's so that everyone else might see the light of Jesus and the life of Jesus through us. And with this love of Jesus in us, we don't have to worry about people hurting our feelings. I just got to stop. I'm sure you've seen it all as well. I've never seen a time in the history of any of us where we have become so shallow and thin-skinned that the smallest of disagreements offend us so deeply. Come on. We should get some thick skin. I ask you if you think Jesus was offended on our behalf. So what if people don't agree? You'll be offended. Jesus was more offended. He took on himself all the offenses for our sake to pour out his love and mercy on us. And now his mercy extends through us. And so listen to how Paul said it. I'll just read it as slow as I can. It's hard to read slow, but I love what Paul says. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Isn't that great? It helps us understand why we're so thin-skinned sometimes, because we're like fragile clay jars. But if we could just get a little stronger skin in Jesus and not worry if somebody offends you or says something harsh. I've had people say that they're so disappointed in this or so upset with this or so angry toward this. And then when they tell me what this is, I'm thinking, you are upset about this? This much? This small thing? When I look at my neighbors who are headed so fiercely down a path toward hell, if only we could be upset about that. If only we could be concerned as opposed to how comfortable we are or what somebody said or how someone bumped us off in the parking lot while you were trying to get a spot or whatever. If only. We've always wanted this humility represented as followers of Jesus. But what also makes this fall different heading into this season of ministry is we want to make it clear even more that this power, it's not from us. We're desperate to submit to him. We don't want our personal nature to shine or the church called East Point to be highlighted. Rather, we want to lift the name of Jesus high. Amen? Not East Point, Jesus. And as soon as we lift the name of Jesus high, other people will see him. Otherwise, they'll just see East Point. We want Jesus to shine through us to allow gospel transformation for Greater Portland. This vision involves teaching and training our hearts to imitate Jesus in every way, from the youngest child to the oldest adult in our gatherings. And Paul told the Corinthian church, follow me as I follow Christ. Just follow me as I follow Jesus. That's all you have to do is imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And better yet, for all of us, just imitate Jesus. That's who we are to follow. And he spoke to the church at Ephesus and he said this, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, Just as Christ gave, or Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So this is how we're supposed to live. And if we're living any other way, it's just not how we're supposed to live. And if you or I, if we're engaging in any of that sinful stuff willfully as a follower of Jesus, you stop it. tell me, stop it. We have to tell each other, just stop that. You're not representing well. Stop messing up the message by living a double life. It's pretty fierce, but nobody's saying it. If you and I are living two lives and we're thinking that one I can use to approach Christ Jesus and the Father on the throne, and the other I can choose to do what I want with and live in unholy living and carousing or fleshly stuff or whatever I choose, you know, we are just being deceived by the enemy. And it's time, you know, to stop being double-minded. Amen? Amen? Amen. I mean, I know that I'm up here and you're there and I say amen. You feel like you have to say amen. You don't have to say amen. I'd rather have you and I show it than to amen it. I'd rather have us say, I'm not going to say that stuff anymore or do those things or think those thoughts, and I'm going to take those thoughts captive when I do and make them obedient to Jesus. Our staff has this running thing called the jar. And the jar is if we catch anybody saying something inappropriate or disagreeing even politically, or we throw our two cents of negative opinion, we have to be like a kid who has to put his part of his allowance in the jar. And so if one of us is saying something off, opposed to what God would have us, you know what the words are? The jar. That's all someone has to say is the jar. Uh-oh, the jar. And then everybody on staff knows that person, and it happened to me not too long ago, but this is all just from Keenan. This is all his. This is just his. So I can't do anything. We got to get a bigger jar. That's all there is to it. Yeah, it's true. It's true, yeah. I'll set it right out here in case you need to contribute. It's not a special offering, it's the jar. Maybe we should be reminded. We must live, as Paul said, for people to see the light of Jesus shining through us, and it's the kind of hearts that pursue holiness. That's why we said earlier, we need to know Jesus in our heart. And we can't have him in our heart unless we're pursuing holiness, unless we're pursuing righteousness. And if you say, yeah, but I have so much work to do, so do I. And so that's why we bow our hearts before Jesus. We just keep bowing them and saying, here, take the rest of this. Take this other piece I didn't give to you. Take this thing that keeps messing up my whole life. Here, take this. Take it again, Jesus, for the 10th time. And then we can ask for God to pour out his spirit on Greater Portland. In addition, life is just better for us when we follow Jesus. Every time I do a wedding, and usually a funeral as well, I look for a chance to say something that a group of people who often never connect with God ever in their life, or they've just refused him, I always look for a chance to share the gospel. And in a wedding, if I can say, you know, when he says, husbands, submit to your wives as Christ loved the church, or husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, wives, submit to your husbands and everything, and what it means, the word submit, to come up under, to come up under the wing of a godly man. In the same way, we're supposed to come up under Jesus. And somehow I just pray that people understand, oh, this is a profound mystery, but Christ wasn't really talking about a husband and wife. He was talking about the church. And I got to share that yesterday. And one of the guys that was talking to me at the beginning made a direct comment afterwards that I knew he heard it. I don't know what he'll do with it, but he heard it. And somehow we have to help people hear the gospel using the analogies that Jesus uses, but to have a heart that says, I just gotta share this piece with somebody who will listen. And if they aren't listening well, maybe they'll have a seed planted in their life so that we can see greater Portland be transformed by the gospel. Well, in the words gospel transformation for Greater Portland are the words for Greater Portland. Because we are for Greater Portland. We just are. That's why we're here. We're for the rest of the world too, but Greater Portland needs Jesus, yes? So desperately. So we're for Greater Portland. That's why we have these t-shirts on that say hashtag for Greater Portland. And if you want one, well, you'll be able to get one. We're going to make them available maybe soon enough and out in the parking lot and all that stuff. Maybe you can grab one. I don't know how we're going to do it. We're going to get it out to you. If you want one of these, it has a state of Maine on the back of the shirt. So we are for Greater Portland and this state. And you'll hear about that often. That phrase is going to keep popping up. But what we're asking for is that through prayer, God will do much more than we could ever do. And so let me just share a very small glimpse of one of those spiritual revivals that happened called the Fulton Street Revival back in the 1800s. I'm going to read through this rather quickly, but I just want you to hear a summary of this. It'll take me a couple minutes. So here it is. It began very humble beginnings through a businessman in New York City who entered an empty room. And he pulled out his pocket watch and sat down to wait in this empty room. The placard outside the room read, "Prayer meeting from 12 to 1 o'clock. Stop 5, 10, or 20 minutes or the whole hour as your time permits." It looked like no one had the time. As the minutes ticked by, the solitary waiter wondered if it were all a mistake. His name was Jeremiah Lamphere, hired to keep the old Dutch church moving that appeared to be dying out like many other churches in New York City. He never failed to draw strength from the Lord during those early days of deep discouragement. He invited businessmen to come and pray at noon. First, no one came. Then one man at 12:30, and finally a total of 6 people came. It was in the 1800s when the gold rush was booming and slavery was booming and fortunes were booming and faith was diminishing. All he knew was that men stood in need of prayer. And then 20 came, and then 40, turning into a daily meeting in a larger room. And then came the crash. Banks closed, jobs were gone, people were hungry, and now crowds of more than 3,000 now gathered in prayer and took over the whole building. Lawyers and physicians and merchants and clerks and bankers and brokers and manufacturers and mechanics and porters and messenger boys all came. Dairymen would drive up to the curb and tie up their horses and come in for a few minutes. And the rules, I love this part. The rules for the prayer meeting were this, so that nobody would miss its purpose. There was a 5-minute rule. So nobody could take over the meeting. I love that rule because some people just want to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and never stop. 5 minutes. You can't have any longer than that. The second rule is no controversial subjects shall be discussed. Praise God. You know, let's just pray. And the primary focus was to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to save the lost. The idea of revival prayer flashed across from coast to coast within 6 months. 10,000 businessmen were praying. All of the requests for prayer seemed to focus on the loss. One from Philadelphia came and said, why not in Philadelphia? At first, the crowd stayed and around 60, but suddenly in Philadelphia, there was a change. On March 8, 1858, 300 people were present. On Wednesday, March 10th, 2,500 people jammed into a larger auditorium. After that, not less than 3,000 people attended the meeting every day. In May, a tent was put up. Within 4 months, 150,000 people had prayed in the tent. Meetings sprang up in other parts of the city. It's estimated that there were 10,000 conversions in Philadelphia in 1858. In Boston, where evangelist Charles Finney was preaching, a prayer meeting was held in historic Old South Church and in Park Street Church. At least 150 Massachusetts towns were moved by the revival, with 5,000 conversions before the end of March. The Boston correspondent of a Washington newspaper wrote that religion was the chief concern in many cities and towns of New England. Do y'all know that's what happened? A long time ago? A long time ago. It took a civil war to interrupt it all. And even then, 150,000 Confederate soldiers accepted Jesus. And by the end of the war, a third of the army had placed their faith in Jesus. As a result, or in concert with the Fulton Street prayer meeting, revival broke out through prayer meetings all across the country in major city after city, where thousands would be brought to Jesus and crying out for his gospel to save them or save someone in their family. Husbands were saved by their praying wives. All I can say is if then, why not now? If in Philadelphia, Boston, New York City, or Cincinnati, or Cleveland, why not Portland? It's the same God and same Father and the same Holy Spirit, is it not? The only difference are the hearts that don't cry out compared to those that do. That's all there is. And so you'll be hearing us call you to prayer, to cry out for the lost in greater Portland, that God would send his Spirit. On Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock, this Tuesday night, we'll spend our time just crying out for the lost and crying out for the Holy Spirit of God. That's all we're going to pray about. If I'm leading, I don't know if I am, but if I'm leading, that's all we're going to pray about. Because that's all we need to ask. And maybe someday, soon, maybe, you'll see a room pop up in downtown Portland that'll have a sign on the street that says prayer. Maybe we'll just copy him. Because it's the same God, same Holy Spirit, that convicts in the same way, nothing different. Why not? Why not? And if and when the Holy Spirit falls on Greater Portland, we'll be on the cleanup crew. That'll be our job. We'll clean up all the messes. We'll help with the addicted, and we'll try our best to pull families back together again and marriage is saved and lonely people have their hearts refreshed. Wouldn't it be great? Oh, it will be great. We just have to ask. Well, that's just too simple for us, isn't it? But that's all we have to do. Just ask. Here's just a couple things you can do. Come back for our block party at 1 o'clock. Just hang with us for a while so we can talk this talk a little bit and enjoy each other's company and eat, which we love to do. And then come to Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, and just, if you say, I've never been before, that's okay. Just come, sit. Only thing you have to do is ask. That's what we're going to do. Register for a life group or a class to connect with other believers who have like minds. And then if you would just pray with me as I pray this prayer and prepare our hearts for joining Jesus around his table. Let me pray this prayer if you'd ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you as we pray. Jesus, we seek you with all of our heart, and any part of our heart that isn't the all part. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to help make this so. May we hear you, Jesus, in any way that your voice chooses to speak through your Holy Spirit. May our love for you move us and see us through all that's ahead, and to see you bring about your righteous ways through whatever form of revelation you choose. And we know you have many options and many ways to bring about this revival in our own hearts, but prolifically throughout all of Greater Portland. May you give to us a new mission and new strategies and dreams in our sleep of seeing you come, Jesus, and show up to some of the hardest hearts around us. And may you bring understanding to mysteries in front of us that would be revealed through prayer and through your presence. And we pray, God, that you'd also take away the old order of things, the religious traditions, and call us to be part of a new generation of believers in you, Jesus, and in your mission and vision for us. And may we be part of this new army of fiery servants to accelerate your kingdom coming and the gospel being poured out on the people around us. Lord Jesus, we're just asking that you let us be part of another and a fresh great awakening. May we love you with all of our heart and passion. May we be your church, your bride. May your hand be upon us, O Lord. We look to you, Jesus. We look at you, Jesus, and we participate in your coming kingdom in Greater Portland. Amen.